You are listening to the audio podcast of the King's Crossing Church of Christ. To learn more or to subscribe to our weekly podcast, please visit kingscrossingcoc.com.
Good morning. This morning I'll be reading from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Sound going? There we go. I don't know about you, but that's one of my favorite stories in Scripture when you think about praying and also listening. This young boy, Samuel, faithful to God from the time he's very small, and this powerful story of God reaching out to him and inviting him to become a really significant person in the kingdom. But he's there, and in the quiet of the evening, he's there lying in his bed, but he's also praying and listening for what God might be trying to tell him. So on the one hand, this is a great story of Samuel's responsiveness to God, so that when God is talking, Samuel is listening. But isn't this also really the story of a praying mother? In fact, a woman praying before she was a mother. Perhaps you remember the story. There's a man named Elkanah. He married two women. He had two wives. One was named Hannah, and the other was named Peninnah. And Peninnah had lots of children, had no trouble having children. She was a mother, but Hannah, even though she was dearly loved by her husband, was unable to have children. Now, this is at a time period before the kings and all were in place, and so this is back when they worshiped at Shiloh instead of worshiping in Jerusalem. But as the story goes, each year as they would go to Shiloh to worship the Lord, Peninnah would start mocking and teasing Hannah because she wasn't a mother and she couldn't have any children. And she would tease her so mercilessly that when she should be there to feast and to celebrate and to worship, instead she would start weeping uncontrollably and refuse to eat anything. And every year it was just this miserable experience for Hannah, just being reminded that she had not been given this blessing of being a mother. And so she went there to worship, and she went to the entrance of the house of God, and she kind of leaned there against the doorpost, and she started praying. And you may remember this story where, as she was praying, she was really speaking to God deeply from her heart. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12, "As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth." He's the high priest at the time. "Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, 'How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you.'" I mean, adding insult to injury, right? Quite literally. "But Hannah answered, 'No, my lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation.' Then Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him.' And she said, 'Let your servant find favor in your eyes.' Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." So she had that moment of prayer and just that word of comfort at the right time. She didn't have a child yet, but just the fact that Eli was willing to give her the dignity of listening to her, showing compassion towards her, but then also wishing this blessing on her. And then sure enough, that year she ends up conceiving. And she has this child, and his name is Samuel, which means something literally like, I asked of God, or I requested from God. So she's completely clear on this, that when she has this first child that she's been begging for years, she knows this child is a gift from God, what a gift it is to be a mother. And so her response to God is, because you've given me this child that I have desired, I'm going to give him right back to you. This child belongs to you. And from the time he's old enough to be off of solid food, he's there working in the temple. I want to talk this morning, the title of this lesson is Revealed in Prayer. I want to talk about four very powerful things that we can pray when we talk to God. These are prayers that have significance, but not just in the sense that it's some sort of a formula that you pray and automatically get a result, or just that you have to say these words a certain way, but these concepts demand things of us personally. If you're going to pray these things, it says something about where your heart is based on what it is that you're asking for. And as we align our hearts with God's heart, God's will is revealed to us as we pray. The first prayer, the first thought that I want you to take with you as you pray is this simple prayer, Lord, here we are. Lord, here we are. When Hannah had Samuel, there was no doubt in her mind that this child was a result of prayer. He was a gift that came because she had prayed and she had asked and God had granted her request. God, here I am, and if you'll give me a son, I'm going to give him right back to you. And when she had that son, they showed up there at the house of worship and said, here I am, and here he is. I'm all yours, Lord, and now this son of mine is all yours, however you can use him. And so again, from that time he was very young, he's there serving in the house of God. So I love this story from our scripture reading about the way that God wanted to do these big things through Samuel. He, of course, became a mighty and significant prophet, the one who would anoint the first kings of Israel, a significant person. But don't you know that his significant life began in the power of a mother who was praying for him, who every year would go back and bring him a new outfit, just a little bit larger than the last one she'd made for him as he continued to grow and to serve there in the house of the Lord. But as a church, this is an important prayer to be praying. Lord, here we are. That was exactly what Samuel said, wasn't it? As he went back to bed that night, he'd been hearing something and he kept going to the high priest Eli and saying, were you calling me? And he said, no, I wasn't calling you. Maybe it was the Lord. And so that was what he prayed. He laid there as a little child and said, Lord, speak, because your servant is listening. Lord, here we are. One of the things I'm really excited about in this campaign is next Sunday. I know last week we had Gratitude Sunday. I wasn't here last week, but I've so enjoyed getting to look at some of the things you all have posted on these back walls, all the things that we as a congregation are grateful for. It'll cheer you up. It'll put you in a good mood just to walk around the room and look at those before you leave today. We had Gratitude Sunday, but coming up on May 20th is going to be Ministry Sunday. The thing that makes me excited about this is that I think most people have no idea how many good things are happening because our church is here. The many different ways that our congregation is a blessing. The one thing I know is going to happen is that we're going to have all these tables set up, all these different ministries featured. And if you haven't already talked to Andy Bennett or Jonathan Cobb about having a table to feature a ministry that you're involved in, we want to get as many of them as we can. And I know there's going to be so many amazing things, and I'm probably going to get here Monday afterwards and say, ah, we forgot another five or six, or oh, there's another one we didn't mention. We won't get them all, but we want to feature as many as we can. But when you think about the ministries of this church, I really believe that every ministry is a result of some person in some way showing up and saying to God, Lord, here I am. Lord, I don't know exactly what it is you're wanting to do, but here I am. Lord, I'm available. If you show me what to do, I'll do something. But what an important prayer to be praying. Lord, here I am. next Sunday, looking forward to Ministry Sunday. In fact, one of the newest ministries we've got going on around here is one we're really excited about. It's been going just a few weeks, but there's an operation called the Humble Cafe. We've got something in your bulletin about it this week I'd encourage you to be looking at, because there's a few ways that you could volunteer if this is something you're interested in. But the Humble Cafe is run by a couple named Bob and Cindy Dillard, and what they basically do is they prepare meals to take to hurricane victims. There are still people up in Rockport whose homes have been destroyed who are still having a rough time recovering from Hurricane Harvey. We're still dealing with that. We as a congregation had taken up a special fund. We've helped several of our sister congregations and their own members. We also were able to make a donation to the Humble Cafe just to feed people who need food. And so their ministry was growing to the point that they needed an industrial type kitchen to use. And we didn't build this building with the intent of only using it a couple of hours a week. We wanted this building to be here to be a gift to serve the community. And so we were so pleased to be able to let Bob and Cindy start coming in here with their team to prepare meals. And so now on Monday and Wednesday mornings, there are people in our kitchen cooking meals that they're delivering up to Rockport. In fact, just this week, I think they delivered meals to 250 people that they cooked here in our kitchen. Now, on a side note, this has quickly become one of my favorite ministries, and it's because of one of the ways I get to be involved. So the first Monday that they were in operation, Cindy was in there cooking something, and she shows up in my office with this sweet and spicy glazed pork chop. You see where this is going. She says, "Mark, you know, I've been working on the glaze on this pork chop, and I'm not sure it's quite as good as it needs to be. Would you please eat this for me and tell me what you think about it?" And I said, "You know, there are some things I'm not willing to do, but for the Lord, Cindy, yes, I will eat this pork chop." And then she showed up a few minutes later with a fresh chocolate chip cookie. So, again, no offense to our other ministries, this one has rapidly become a favorite of mine. One of the perks of being here at the building. But they do have some space for more volunteers. It's a great ministry. It's a new one going on around here that most of you will never see if you're not here on a Monday or a Wednesday morning. But we want to keep praying that prayer. Lord, here we are. We're here. We're here to serve you. A second prayer is closely related to this. And this prayer is, Lord, show us what you want. This is kind of what we've been asking for the last several weeks, isn't it? Lord, what do you want to do through me? Lord, show us what you want. This is a prayer that's actually pretty demanding if you think about it. In the book of Psalms, the first chapter, in the first verse, the first section of chapter 1 of the Psalms, David is comparing two different paths of life. He's comparing that road that leads to blessing and righteousness, and he's talking about that path that leads to destruction. He warns against three types of people. One would be the people who take counsel from the wicked. Watch out for people who actively listen to evil people for advice. And he talks about blessed is the one who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And we would all say as Christians, yeah, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be involved with the sinners and what they're doing. I don't want to rob people. I don't want to commit crimes. I don't want to commit harm. But then there's this third category. Blessed is the man who doesn't take counsel from the wicked, who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Do you remember what that third thing is he talks about? He says, blessed is the person who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. You know why people like to be scoffers? Because it's the most comfortable seat in the church. Being a scoffer means I get to complain about everything I don't like, but without feeling obligated to do anything about it. I can talk about what everyone else ought to be doing, and I think they should do a better job, and they should really step it up, but Lord, you know, I'm doing my part in keeping this seat warm. And when I leave here, I'm going to go to my favorite restaurant where I'm going to complain about the service that I got. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to sit down again and I'm going to watch 6 hours straight of my favorite 24-hour news network. And I'm going to complain about everything that's wrong in America. I'm an asset wherever I go. When you think about ball games, where do you normally find the scoffers? Behind the coach, usually up in the bleachers, right? The people who just want to give advice, who don't want to do anything, who don't want to be part of anything that's good, but who want to sit back and find fault with everything else that's going on. You don't find scoffers out on the field, do you? When you think about a sports team or a football game or anything else going on, the people who are on the field playing the game are too busy doing the work to sit back and just criticize everything because they're trying to make a difference. Why is it that you think David would group scoffers in with those who take counsel from the wicked and those who stand in the way of sinners? Because wouldn't those first two seem worse, to actively do evil? But you see, for us, I'm sure Satan would love it if all 400 of us just became a group of Satan worshipers. I mean, that would be a neat victory for him. But see, he's got it just as good if he can convince us as Christians just to be lazy, to know the things we ought to do, but somehow convince ourselves we're not responsible for doing them. To sit back and offer advice and critique and criticism, but to say that, I don't really have to be part of that. I'm good enough as I am. Lord, I want you to forgive me my sins. I want you to let me go to heaven, but don't ask me to do anything for you. What more do you want from me? What a victory Satan has is if he can fill the church full of people who are willing to scoff, but not to serve. People who want to sit in the bleachers and coach, but who don't want to step up and get in the game. It's awfully hard for a scoffer to pray that prayer because it demands action, doesn't it? Lord, show us what you want. Lord, here we are, but you're trying to do things. Lord, we know that you're alive, that you're well, that your kingdom can grow, that you'll bless us if we pray for you to show us the way. So, Lord, here we are. Show us what it is, Lord, that you want. What is it that you're going to do next through our congregation? Grateful for our history, grateful for our past, grateful for our present, but Lord, you can do more. There are things still coming that we haven't even imagined yet. Lord, what is it that you want to do through us? A third thing that we can be praying is a little different, but I'm convinced is also important, is this prayer, Lord, here is what we want. When we consider all the things that God calls on us to do, when we're trying to make the kingdom of God be our top priority, surely we're going to commit our imaginations to the purposes of God. You think about the church in the book of Acts, where they would have these conversations. There's all these cities in that other part of the world where they haven't heard the gospel yet. I wonder if we could get together a trip, if we could get together a little funding, and maybe we could go over there and we could teach them, and we could plant some churches. I bet God could use that. And some of the time, God would enable them to do exactly the things that they planned on. Some of the time, God would let them go in a direction, and then God would say, well, instead of going there, I'm going to need you to go here instead. Sometimes we have to be flexible, but just the same, they were listening for God. They were paying attention to what God wanted, but then they were also trying to make plans the best they could, committing those plans to the Lord. I love Acts chapter 15 when they had that council about what are we going to do about blending Jews and Gentiles in the church. The Jews who think we need to do everything in a Jewish way, and the Gentiles who don't want to sign up for any of those traditions. And the way they began a letter to all the churches was, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. We thought our best, we worked through Scripture as best we understood it, we examined the things that God is teaching, but then we also have asked God to bless our efforts. We've asked God to help us do these things we're dreaming of doing for Him. There's a story I've probably told you before, and I'll probably tell you again. It's one of my favorites, but thinking about the importance of really asking God for things in prayer, especially big things. There's an African missionary who came and was speaking at Harding University when I was a student there. I mean, this was his personal story, so this is not a quote of a quote. This is something that happened to him. But in their village, and they're in a really remote part of Africa, there was a little baby in that village who had gotten deathly ill. It was fairly newborn, it was really sick, and they got to talking about this child and recognized that the thing that would really save this kid's life was so simple. If they could just get one of those rubber water bottles to keep warm water with the baby and help it sleep through the night without it getting too cold. So that would probably save the child's life. But of course, out here in the middle of the deepest parts of Africa, where are we going to find one of those rubber warm water bottles? And so this is kind of missionary, as everyone's, thinking about the child and praying for the child. And meanwhile, the missionary had to get on with the stuff he was normally doing. And so part of what they normally did was that they would teach a Bible class to children. And so he was there that day to teach this kid's Bible class. And part of what they did in the class was that they would have a chain prayer. So they would work their way around the circle, and each child would have a chance to pray something to God. The kids are all quite aware of the situation going on with the baby. And the first few of them prayed all the normal stuff, God, thank you for birds and trees, and thank you for my mom and dad, and these kinds of things. But then they got to this one little girl who was pretty bold. And when it was this little girl's turn to pray, she said, God, we need you to give us a warm water bottle, because if you don't, this baby's going to die. And God, we actually need it today. It can't wait. We've got to have this warm water bottle or this baby's going to die, and Lord, we need you to give it to us. And of course, the missionary talked about, you know, as a teacher, you kind of cringe in those moments because you want to say, well, you know, prayer doesn't necessarily always work that way. And, you know, can you be really that bold when you ask for things? And you want to guess what happened? That day, a package arrives. And they start unboxing it. They see it's from their home congregation. And as they open this box, they had been asking for some certain supplies they needed for Bible studies and some other materials. As they open this box, the very top thing in the top of the box is a rubber water bottle. And they had not even asked for one. It had a note written in this package that said, hey, we got you all the stuff that you requested. We've shipped it all to you. I think we got everything on the list. And hey, by the way, hope you don't mind, but right as we were packing this up, someone popped up with this water bottle. We know you didn't ask for it, but we just thought maybe you might could use it. So we went ahead and threw it in there. You want to know when they sent the package? 3 months ago. 3 months before they even knew to pray this prayer, God was already at work in answering this prayer and giving them the things that they needed. We have to be willing to pray boldly and to say, Lord, we're trying to do things for you that are challenging, things that are too hard for us. Lord, we're here. We're listening for what you want. And Lord, this is what we want to do. And so there's a final important part of this prayer that we want to pray, which is simply, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Maybe you remember that story of the boy with the unclean spirit. You know, he had this spirit, and the father came to Jesus, and he really wanted Jesus to cast out the spirit. And Jesus says, anything's possible for the one who believes. And the man just cries out in desperation, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm trying to believe. I'm trying to trust you. It's hard for me. I need you to help me. I think God wants us to continue praying that. Lord, help us know what to do, and help us to be brave. Help us to be bold. Help us to do big things. Help us to do the things we're really capable of. As you think about your own life right now, I'd like to hope that each of you has some goals in your life that you're working on for the Lord. Maybe you've got that person that your family is working on reaching out to and trying to bring to church with you. Maybe you've got some habit you've been trying to kick and you're trying to get some better routines in place. But as you think about your personal goals, what are the things right now that you as a person have been committing to the Lord that you're going to do in the next month, in the next year, in the next period of time? And as you think about what your goals are that you're trying to do for the Lord and accomplish for the Lord, I want you to imagine that God gives you no extra involvement whatsoever from himself. Now, I don't mean like there's no God and like, you know, the world falls apart and anything like that. What I mean is just imagine that you're getting no supernatural help with any of those goals. My question is, if you remove God's help from what you're trying to do, could you still pretty much get it done anyways? Have you set the bar so low for yourself and what God is going to do through you that you could probably just do it on your own anyways without really ever having to beg God and say, this is what I want to do, but I can't do it unless you help me do it? Those are the prayers we've got to be praying. Lord, here we are. Lord, we know that you've got things that you're wanting, so Lord, show us what it is that you want. Show us what it is that we need to do. Lord, here's some of the things we're understanding. Here's some things that we're committing to you. But Lord, we're committing things that are bigger than we know how to accomplish. So Lord, help us. Help us. Prayed urgently, sincerely, help us. So I do invite you this morning to spend some time examining your life. Have you been setting goals for yourself? Have you been making commitments to God in ways that you're preparing to step up and to serve? Because folks, sitting in that seat over there, it's awful comfy, but that's not living, that's just killing time. It's just killing time to sit in that seat of the scoffer. But to step up and to ask God what it is that he wants to do through us, to commit ourselves to God that whatever he shows us, we'll do the best that we can. I invite you to be challenging yourself to do things for God so difficult that only God can accomplish them. If you need to make a commitment to the Lord this morning, if you're needing to be like that father who said, I'm trying to believe, but I need help with my unbelief, and we could pray for you and encourage you. If you've never committed your life to Christ and been a Christian, whatever your needs are this morning, this is a time that you can come and talk to us about those. We would invite you to come forward as together we stand and sing this song.